Sexual wellness for women, you can look at it from three aspects. The first aspect is, does she know her body? Because self-knowledge is key, and you have to know what feels good on your body. It's hard for men to admit that they have a sex issue, any kind of issue that's related to sex. It doesn't have to be their penis not working. It can be other things.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Mindful Space. Today, we are in Los Angeles, California, and we have Dr. Tara.
Yes.
Did I say it right? Yes. Amazing. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time to come here.
I'm a big fan of mindfulness, yeah. So I'm excited to be here.
Perfect. So I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself professionally and personally so our audience can get a little flavor of you.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm Dr. Tara Suwinyati Chaiporn, and I'm a tenured professor of relational and sexual communication at Cal State University Fullerton. And I have a practice where I'm a sex coach for the last few years in Los Angeles called Love Bites. And with my practice, I actually also started my social media empire, lovebites.co, where I have Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and of course, TikTok. It's my most bustling social media with over 2 million followers. And when I'm not coaching and teaching, I do a lot of research in sexual satisfaction.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, today our topic is sexual wellness and intimacy. Mm-hmm. So you're the expert on that, right?
Very important.
I got the right person?
Yes, I am the expert, I would say.
So for those who might not know, what is considered sexual wellness? What does that imply? What's the core of it?
That's a really good question. Sexual wellness in general means the self-appraisal of how you feel about your sexuality and your sex life. And that comes in multiple aspects. Physically, mm-hmm. right? Like if you have vaginal pain, for example, then you're not well physically. There's psychologically, mm-hmm. if you've experienced some kind of trauma and sexual touches become something that is unwanted, then that's a psychological issue. And there's emotionally, mentally, spiritually, mm-hmm. Communication-wise, are you a good or bad sexual communicator? So there's multiple aspects of how you appraise yourself, like how good you are in those sexual arenas.
So all of that together would
is
be the
sexual wellness. Yeah.
How can I improve my sexual wellness?
Great question. I think it's taking an audit of your current sex life would be the first step.
Okay.
And what that means or what that entails is, for example, you know, when you self-pleasure, when you masturbate, how does it feel? Are you able to masturbate without guilt and shame and have pleasure on mm-hmm. your own? And that would be like the topic of self-pleasure. But at the same time, you know, taking into account, like, has there been difficulties in the past or trauma in the past or assault to consider how it affects you in the present? And in that case, like, reaching out to a sex therapist, there's no shame in sex therapy games. So if mm-hmm. you feel like there's, you know, a blockage in you and you want a professional to help you overcome mm-hmm. that difficulty, then definitely reach out to a sex therapy. But there's also other things that you can do personally to enhance your sexual wellness. Mm-hmm. Lots of research shows that sexual meditation is a very powerful practice in helping people with sexual dysfunction, sexual anxiety, and also just mm-hmm. want to improve their pleasure in general. There's a lot of empirical experimental research. There's research from University of British Columbia that shows women who has done sexual mindfulness activities mm-hmm. for like 2 weeks reported having higher sexual desire and better sexual functioning. So as you can see, it's a very powerful tool. And we're on like mindful podcasts. You know, I want to highlight how important sexual mindfulness is.
Yeah, and I think it's so tabooed and almost a subject or topic that people don't talk about, or they're like ashamed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's installed in you since you're little, right? Like sex, no sex, don't talk about sex. And then you're this adult and you have all these mental blockages or physical blockages and you're like, well, what do I do?
Exactly. Yeah. And your sexual self-concept depends so very much on your environment that you grew up in. This concept we call family sex communication.
Okay.
So is your family sex communication more laissez-faire and relaxed and playful, where your parents can kiss in front of you, they hold hands, maybe even, like, you know, grab the little booty?
Yeah.
do they turn off the TV when there's a sex scene? And are they very distant? Are your parents very sexually distant from one another? So, like, that ambience affect the way you feel about sex and sexuality. Because if you've observed a lot of coldness when it comes to sexuality and discomfort, then you're going to grow into an adult who's uncomfortable with their sexuality versus kids who grew up in families where their parents are think sex is natural and it's fine.
Yeah.
They will grow up to not be afraid or anxious about sex.
Yeah. Even talking the way you talk to your kids about sex, you know, sometimes parents ask me, well, what do I say? I'm like, well, you don't want to give them the bee and the honey story. I mean, maybe if they're like three.
Right.
But if it's age appropriate, like, you name the parts what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Vagina, penis, like, they're biological names. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, that's the way you talk to them. So when they reach an age and they're ready to explore, like, they know what is what, right?
100%.
It's so important.
It is.
Specifically for women, what does sexual wellness, what does it look like? A woman that's in it, like, the one that can actually connect and has a good sexual wellness. What does that look like? What may look like?
I would say, okay, it looks, sexual wellness for women, you can look at it from three aspects. The first aspect is, does she know her body? Because self-knowledge is key, and you have to know what feels good on your body. And there's a practice called pleasure mapping. Where you caress different parts of your body to see which erogenous zones work the best for you, like which parts are most arousing and stimulating. So I would say the first aspect of sexual wellness for women is knowing your body. Like, let's say, you know, my left nipple is very arousing, but my right nipple, not so much. Right? So things like that. It's something that only you know, and it's very empowering to know. So I would say first step is that. Another aspect to consider is actual physical functioning.
Okay.
So is there pain? So if there's vaginal pain or clitoral pain, or it's too sensitive, or your vagina doesn't become more elastic when you're aroused, then there's a problem. Then I would highly suggest see a sexual medicine specialist, gynecologist, OBGYN, because in that case, you can't leave it without getting it treated. The third aspect is interactional. Are you ashamed talking about sex to your significant other, to your friends? Or is sex something that is positive and endearing, and we can talk about it from early dating to 10 years dating or 30 years married?
Yeah.
So that's the three aspects.
I feel like it has a lot to do with communicating with your partner, right? And it comes from knowing what you want, so you're able to communicate what you need and not let them guess.
Exactly. And, you know, every sex expert in the world will agree with me that communication is the number one skill for an amazing sex life.
Yeah.
And period. You know?
No, I agree as well. And it's funny that you say that, because so many people are ashamed of talking about it, even with their friends. And then they meet somebody and it's not perfect, right? But I find that the people that are able to communicate what they want, how they like it, it sounds kind of cliche and weird, you know, like, wait, the communication during sex, but it's key. And it could really, like, sex, your sex life can improve with your partner as long as you're 100%. Open to communicating and trying new things, especially guided by a sex therapist.
Yeah, well, there's actually a whole body of research that shows people have better sex as time goes by in dating, because communication becomes easier. So women will report having more orgasms after 3 years of dating versus when they started dating.
Okay.
Because now she's communicating.
Yeah, now she's comfortable.
Giving guidance. Yeah.
Like, well, I'm going to talk to you before I leave you.
Right.
What you've been doing for the last 2 years, I never liked it.
Yeah, just so you know.
Yeah. Now we can be, you know, open.
Well, you know, and when we're talking about sexual communication, I love recommending people talking about how important sex is in their relationship very early on. In my opinion, there's never too early, because if you want to ask this on a first date, I think it's fine. But you know.
But it might not be for everyone.
It might not be for everyone. So let's say you've been dating for like 2-3 months and you want to check in about, you know, sex and sexuality to see if we're truly compatible. The question I'd love you to ask your partner, the person you're dating, is from 1 to 10. How important is sex to you in a long-term relationship?
Yes. And that's important, because for some people, I want sex every day. And then for others, are like, twice a week is fine.
Right.
You know?
Once a month is fine. Yeah. Once every quarter is fine. You know, for some people, they're like, emotional connection, spiritual connection, kids, money, like all these things comes before sex, right? So I've asked every client and the answer ranges so much.
Oh, okay.
There's clients that say, oh, you know, I'm a solid 3, which there's no shame in that at all, right? Like it's your life and it's your sexuality. And if that's how you feel, you're valid. However, if you're a 3 and you're dating a 10, if your partner says, oh, sex is one top 2, in a long-term relationship, it's 10 out of 10 for me. I want you to understand that discrepancy and how difficult it can be in a relationship in the long run and be realistic about dating this person.
Yeah. Like, are you going to be able to keep up or not? Or is the other person going to be able to meet
compromise.
In the middle?
Yeah. Like, is compromise available or not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that goes along multiple things, like when you talk, it's all about communication. The other categories as well, the kids, the family, like what is your priority?
Exactly.
Are we on the same, like what's our goal together, right?
Yeah.
So I think communication is key regardless of the topic. What are some predictors of sexual satisfaction? Like, I know you did research, so I know you have a lot of info.
Yes.
Enlighten us.
Would love to.
Please.
I'm so excited about this study, because I spent 2.5 years collecting data from 5,000 individuals.
That's a lot.
So it's a big study. It's not like, oh, I asked 10 people, right? Like 5,000 people have taken a part of this study and I have ran the statistics and these are the things I found. And I want people to understand how serious that is, because in a survey study in social science, like 5,000 is a big sample size.
It is.
And it's quite representative of people's behaviors with outliers here and there, but it's quite representative. So the top 3 predictors of long-term sexual satisfaction are...
Drum rolls.
Number one is sexual confidence.
Okay.
And, you know, you would think like, oh, that's it. Like sexual confidence, like I show up confident in bed, like that's it. Well, sexual confidence doesn't just come from like showing up confidently in bed. There are people who are actually not confident internally, but can show up confidently. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's like fake it till you make it kind
of
thing. So in research, we found that people who are truly confident are actually people who have high sexual self-esteem.
Okay.
So if you have high sexual self-esteem, you tend to be able to exhibit yourself in a confident manner in bed and around sex, surrounding sex.
Mm-hmm.
And sexual self-esteem, it's a pretty like loaded term.
Yeah.
But what it means is you know that you're worthy of pleasure.
Okay. So it goes deep. It's not just
deep.
I know how to you know, do
right.
sex.
Yeah, like I know how to have sex. I know how to open my legs. Like it's not just that. It's so much deeper. Like it's related to self-worth, which is, you know, it's so much related to other things in life, like psychology, addiction, right? Like self-worth and self-esteem kind of dictates how you live your life.
A lot of different things.
Yeah. Yeah. How you show up in school, how you show up at work, how you show up as a daughter or son. So believing that you are worthy of pleasure and showing up confidently in sexual situations predict how satisfied your sex life is going to be.
Wow. That was the top one.
Well, it's top three.
Okay.
So that's top three.
Okay. So they're not in order.
Let me see if I have to order them yes. based on effect size. That would be third.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Continue. I'm curious. What's number two?
Second factor of long-term sexual mm-hmm. satisfaction is actually sexual mindfulness.
And you're what gonna does that love entail? This.
You're a fan yes. of mindful activities.
I'm a super fan of mindfulness.
Yes.
But what does sexual mindfulness mean?
Mm-hmm. Love this question. It's the ability to be present and non-judgmental in your body during a sexual situation.
Oh.
So and it sounds
judging
simple,
yourself.
But it's actually not, because you can ask any sex therapist or sex coach and they will tell you that millions of people struggle with shame and guilt and the inability to focus in bed, destructive thoughts,
yes,
intrusive thoughts. So it can be from like, oh, I hate my body. I'm wondering what my stomach looks like in doggy style, or
turn the lights off.
Right. Or like turn the lights off. I'm insecure. Yeah. Like things like that comes from shame can affect the ability to be here and be with you and focus and exactly. have this passionate interaction. So without sexual mindfulness, you're not able to have an amazing sex life. You know, you can probably have like an okay yeah. sex life because sex is somewhat animalistic, right?
Exactly.
However, it takes that extra step to like be here and focus and concentrate it on in the moment.
Yeah.
In order to have that like mind-blowing orgasm.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
You're like, it makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense.
I practice mindfulness, so yeah. I have mind-blowing orgasms.
Yeah. No, but it does make sense, you know, just being on the present moment. There's so many other distractions.
Right.
So many phases of your life, like when you're younger, you're discovering yourself yeah. and like your brain's not there. So you get older and your same partner, then you're able to really stay there, be in the present moment. There's no judgment. You right. can tell them what you like, what you don't like. So, no, I mean, I feel like we've all gone through different phases. So,
and you've explained yeah. it so nicely. So I want to also reiterate that like not all of us will just like be born sexually mindful, right?
Yeah,
like
no.
It's a journey
of
and
course.
And a choice, because you can have mindless sex forever. You can, you
yeah,
know, one
you
day
you can fake orgasms
yeah,
forever.
Exactly. And one day you're 80 and you realize, oh man, I've never truly had an orgasm
yeah.
or an amazing sex life. But when you choose to embark on this sexual mindfulness journey and try different mindfulness activities in mm-hmm. order to achieve that, then sex becomes a lot more satisfying and fulfilling.
Yeah. It could become second nature too after you keep practicing mindfulness.
Yeah.
Then you'll can't go back.
Yeah. Like, are you a fan of meditation?
I'm not going to lie. I do meditate, but I'm not. It's really hard to mm-hmm. put your mind just like in blank,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And there's different types. I like the guided ones. I need somebody talking, because if
yes.
you just put the music, I'll definitely fall asleep.
I love the guided ones.
Yeah.
Like, and I think there's no shame in the guided ones if mm-hmm. that helps you focus and be in the moment.
Exactly.
Definitely try my guided sexual meditation.
Ooh, I will.
Yes.
Let me put it on the to-do list.
Yes.
So you said number three, number two. What is the number one?
The number one, I have a feeling you already know this because we've been talking about
okay.
it. The number one predictor of long-term sexual satisfaction is sexual communication.
Yes. I can't say I'm surprised.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think people know that. I think people know how important yeah. communication is in their life. But I think there's some people that don't choose to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, communication is a skill that people need to improve consistently.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I'm a professor of this topic, and I still feel like there's room for me to improve in every way.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love having a growth mindset. But yeah, sexual communication is the number one predictor, is the strongest effect size in my study,
yeah.
predicting long-term sexual satisfaction.
And I think it's also a predictor of long-term relationships.
in general.
So if you match all that together, guys, it's a win-win.
It's an amazing relationship.
Exactly. Sexual satisfaction in relationships. Pleasing a partner, pleasing yourself. Mm-hmm. What are some of the techniques, or what would you tell a client that comes and says, I am not able to get to this sexual wellness, or I'm not able to please my partner? Like, how would you treat them, or how would you start the whole journey?
The very first thing I would do as a pretty rigorous sex coach is do a long assessment. I have like 150 questionnaire.
Oh, wow.
Because we need to understand the baseline of where you're at on like an objective scale. And we also need to understand your history, because your sexual wellness now is very much, you know, dependent on who you were before and what had happened to you until now. So I take a long time doing a historical like data collection with my clients prior to even embarking on an activity that will help them get better.
Exactly.
We need to know exactly what's the cause of all of this. Like, let's say one of the common issues that men come to me with is erectile dysfunction. And usually they have already seen sex medicine therapists or specialists. Mm-hmm. So nothing wrong with the hormones, right? Because my first thing would be check your hormones.
Of course.
Right. Okay. And then, okay, hormones are fine. I'm healthy, exercising, eating right, you know, love my girlfriend. Why can't I get hard? Let's talk.
Yeah.
You know, there's this 150 question survey. Okay. And then tell me everything about how you grew up. What was the first time interacting with sex? Was it like porn? Was it like a pop-up on the internet? Was it a girl who dumped you? Was it, you know, like someone made fun of your penis? Or what was it? Like, we need to understand. We need that historical data in order to like move forward. Because once we know, for example, one of my clients has had, you know, a person in their neighborhood that would like come watch them like touch him inappropriately.
Okay.
So then now we know like, oh, you don't have trust with sexuality with people because you don't know if that touch is safe.
Okay.
Then I would recommend things like sensate focus or like touch therapy with perhaps a somatic coach.
Okay.
And I would be able to like refer them and send them out to a somatic coach that will teach them how like different touches can be safe and sexual.
Okay.
So that's kind of long answer to your question.
No, but it does answer. And you gave a perfect example. So people that don't know what any of this is can get a mental picture.
Yeah. And they think it's like, you know, is sex therapy and coaching kind of similar to regular therapy? To me, it's like yes and no. Yes, in a way that, we're trying to help you. Like, that's the only thing. That's the similar thing is we're trying to help you.
Exactly.
Right. But sex therapy and sex coaching is very much engulfed in the fact that we want you to have better sex.
Oh, what a great goal.
We want you to have a better sex life. Like, we want you to be satisfied and fulfilled with your sexuality and how your sex life is going. So, you know, therapy can be more broad. And I highly recommend everyone see a therapist. It's just a great thing to do as maintenance. And then with sex therapy, you know, once you're ready to have a more pleasurable life, come see a sex therapist or sex coach.
Do you have any interesting client stories? I know you can't give details, but like a fun experience.
Yeah, there's actually a couple that I coach. This is one of my favorite stories, so I can tell it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So one of my favorite success stories from my clients is this couple. They've been together 5 years and they have hit the point where sex is monotonous and robotic and boring.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have enough like emotional intelligence to be aware and admit that it's not going that well.
Okay.
So they came to me as a sex coach like, hey, you know, we're both good communicators. We're both open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
We have fun. Like, we have good group of friends. We go out. We have a very full life.
Yeah.
But sex just is the same every time. And it becomes very robotic and less
stagnant.
Yeah, sex stagnant. Less fun, less pleasurable. what can we do? And, you know, I gave them the easy ones first, right? Like, here, try these different toys. I can, you know, send you videos to show you how to use them. You can try, like, face sitting chair, sex pillow, you know, like BDSM tools. Yeah. There's so many things. But they were like, okay, but actually, we were thinking about, you know, attending sex parties or trying a threesome for the first time. Uh-huh. And we were wondering if you could help us. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, help you navigate. How? Like, me yeah. as a third person? Or, like, navigating this? Because I don't do me as a third person for my clients. And they were like, no, just like, how would we start? Okay. And then after a few sessions of, okay, let's prep for it, you know, the wife realizes I'll be too jealous for that.
Okay.
I can't do that. I can't do, you know, someone we know or even like someone that is like an acquaintance. Uh-huh. So, okay. I was like, okay, I have another creative, you know, solution to this. I'm all about creative solutions. Uh-huh. There is a legal sex worker in Amsterdam.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
So Amsterdam is a very sex positive city. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of legal, like just legally fully operated, like brothels.
Yeah.
And these women choose to be there and they love their jobs and they get tested every day and it's all like very clean and
wow.
Up front. Uh-huh. Like there's an iPad where you just like select a woman
really
or man with certain personalities and quirks.
Yeah.
I told them because they had the finances to do so, I told mm-hmm. them, how about this, you know, summer, you take a trip to Amsterdam
mm-hmm.
and then I can like kind of set up an itinerary, send it to you so you book them ahead.
Yeah.
How about that? How open are you to something like that? Mm-hmm. And they find that transactional process, well, she, the wife, found mm-hmm. that transactional process with a proper upfront like sex worker
yeah.
a lot more comforting than trying with a friend or an acquaintance or someone they know.
Yeah.
So they did that
uh-huh.
and this was two years ago. They did that and now that's what they do once a year.
Wow. They made it like a anniversary kind of thing.
Kind
of Amsterdam.
It's their like sex adventure once a year.
But it's work for them.
It works for them.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's different.
Everybody's
what might
different.
Work for you might not work for somebody
no,
else.
Right. For some yeah. people, like that sounds horrendous and completely fine,
yeah.
right? Like we all have, that's why I'm about creative solutions
it's
that
definitely
works
out
for
of
you.
The box, I
it
must
is.
Say.
All my methods are out of the box.
Yeah.
Here's why you know why I don't yeah. have a license.
You chose not to have a license yeah. on purpose.
I chose that on purpose. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a great story.
Thank you.
Do you find treating more women than men? Like, who comes to you? Because I feel like it could be a little taboo for men.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're saying you get a lot of clients with erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious.
I would say my clientele is made up of 50% couples.
Okay.
And then 30% men, 20% women.
Wow. More yeah. men than women.
More men than women.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I think it's hard for men to admit that they have a sex issue, any kind of issue that's related to sex. It doesn't have to be their penis not working. It can be
yeah.
other things. It's hard for them to admit that. So when they find, you know, like my social media and I'm talking about it as if it's nothing, because yeah. I really don't think it's that,
yeah.
you know, then they feel a little bit more like, oh, maybe she'll understand me.
She'll get it.
Maybe she'll get it. Yeah.
She's
actually,
on the internet.
A lot of them, girlfriends and wives, send their partners.
Oh.
So I'll have like a wife reaches out
uh-huh.
and be like, hi, Dr. Chara, how much is your session? Blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, oh, I want to schedule it for my husband. Like, he's been, like, coming in 10 seconds for the last 1 year. Like, you know,
yeah.
can you work with him? I'll be like, yeah, sure.
I
so
got
that
you,
happens
girl.
A lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and then when you see the couples, I'm assuming that's when they want to work together.
Yeah.
Do you ever get couples that they both have issues on their own? Yes.
Yeah. In okay. which I recommend individually, you know, oh, you should see like so-and-so.
Okay.
And then you should see so-and-so. So for me, it's not necessarily that I need to keep all my clients. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, if I realize, oh, that's your problem, I now get it.
Yeah.
Here, let me recommend you to a super specialist on this topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best practice, of course.
Yes, of course. Like, you know, for example, I will have some, from time to time, I'll have people reach out to me for a specific, like, fetish therapy.
Okay.
But then I would just admit, like, hey, like, you know, my particular specialization is in fetish, but I have a fetish therapist friend
exactly
that I'll recommend you.
You're like, I got everybody on the network.
Yeah, like, what do you like?
You armpit, get this one, feet, you get like, this one.
I have a therapist for all of them.
Exactly. You identify yourself as a therapist coach. Yes. How come not a sex therapist? What's the difference?
Yes. So here's the difference. Sex coach set up a sex goal with you and then give you different activities to get to the goal.
Okay.
We don't necessarily, like, let's say if you had a very traumatic relationship with your mother, like, I will send you to a therapist in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, I don't work in that realm.
Okay.
Or, like, you were molested for 10 years. Like, I will send you to a
psychotherapy.
Yeah, I will send you.
CBT,
psychotherapy. You need to do that first. And once you feel more comfortable even just talking about your sexual goals, then come to me and we'll make it happen. But so for me, I choose to be a sex coach rather than getting my license to do therapy is because with a license, you're very limited to what the do's and don'ts of that license in the state, right?
Yes.
But I'm non-traditional. So a lot of my practices and activities are unconventional practices.
Okay.
And I can say them. I don't have to say them, but depending on how PG this show is.
Yeah.
But some of my methods are, I would say, unconventional.
Okay.
And so with a license, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Exactly.
So it's a business decision to just do sex coaching practice.
Yeah. Well, now I'm curious. What's one of the activities that you do, that you might do?
Well, okay.
A non-traditional.
One of the more non-traditional ones is, so like I said, a lot of men come to me, they have sexual anxiety about their penises.
Okay.
Right. And employing similar methods with general therapy through exposure therapy, I would set up like a Google Drive. And I would have them take a dick pic and submit it on there every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very unconventional.
So with a license, I feel like I would lose it.
So what is your ultimate goal with that?
So a lot of people who experience situational sexual anxiety and then it exhibits in erectile dysfunction, what happens is they don't get exposure enough to women. And then they start dating and, oh my God, I'm so into her. And then, you know, their dick can't get hard because they're like, ah, oh, like I'm just too nervous.
Okay.
Right. But if you are showing your penis every day, you know, to this imaginary, you know, person, because I don't look at it.
Yeah.
But it's
like, let me rectify.
Here's like, I have a lot, so I don't have time to look at them. But here's a Google Drive, right?
Okay.
Like, and it's named, I usually name it based on like a girl's name that they like, you know, Janine. And it's Janine.
So mentally, this is Janine. They're like sending
them a dick pic, being confident, being assertive, and like, hey, baby, like, you know, want to get it on? Like, here's my dick pic.
Yeah.
And that would be one of the unconventional ones that is definitely prohibited under a license.
Oh, no. Yes, I get it. But I can see how it works because, like you mentioned, it's like exposure therapy. You know, when you have PTSD or whatever, it's just, you know, we don't do dick pics. But
exactly.
But hey, it works, right?
It works. I've seen it worked for now over 20 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are they super grateful when they're able? How long is the therapy? Like, usually, what's the average that it would take for somebody? And I know everybody's different. Obviously, if you went through trauma, it might be months. Mm-hmm. But what's like the average, you know, amount of sessions that a person would need to, I don't know, go through this journey?
Mm-hmm. When there's a clear problem, it's usually about 10 to 15 sessions.
Oh, okay.
When they feel more comfortable in that sense and they're more capable in that sense, then they would meet me like once a month to check in.
Yeah, just check in.
Yeah.
Give you a dick pic.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be back in a month. What is your ultimate goal for your clients?
Mm-hmm. Multiple orgasms. That's the short answer.
That's a stupid question.
The longer, yes, more sophisticated answer is that they feel sexually empowered.
Okay.
Yeah, that they feel sexually empowered to achieve whatever sexual goals they have.
Exactly. Because everyone might have a different goal.
Right. Maybe your goal isn't to have multiple orgasms.
Maybe I just want to convince my wife I can get it up.
Right.
So I get it up once.
Yeah, like, you know, whatever it is, I want, my goal is that you feel empowered to improve your own sex life.
Yeah. What would be a last message that you would like to bring to our audience, whether they have a sexual dysfunction or having issues in their relationship or just simply have not explored themselves enough to even tiptoe on the sexual well-being?
I would say for yourself, try sexual meditation, because there's so much research that shows how good it is in improving your sexual functioning, desire, orgasm. The list goes on and on. So I would say for yourself, try sexual meditation. And for couples, this is like, it needs to be in Sex Bible.
Okay.
For couples, talk about sex. If you don't talk about sex, there's never going to be amazing sex life in the long run. Exactly. Trust me, there won't be. Like, you have to talk about sex in order to have to achieve that, like, better sex life together.
Exactly.
So talk about sex.
Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you. Thank you for taking time. That's been an enlightening conversation. I loved everything about it. And I can't wait to have you back one day. I feel like we could go deep into it.
Oh, we could go really deep.
Could do like 5 more episodes.
Yeah. I mean, if we were to focus on like one problem, we can talk about it for a long time. But thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you guys for watching or listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. Please leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought of this episode, okay? Bye. I'll say bye here.